If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
All right, everybody, welcome into the Eric Haines Show. We're brought to you by Food City, the official supermarket of the Vols. Lady Vol basketball, the Eric Haines Show. Good Tuesday morning to everybody out there. It's almost the end of the month, dude.
Almost.
Crazy. Hope you guys had a good show yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, we rolled through the Final Four and little Tennessee football practice. I believe they're back out on the practice field today. I would confirm that, but I accidentally deleted the email with the schedule in it. So, but yeah, they're rolling along. What did you think of basketball over the weekend?
Crazy. This tournament is nuts.
Just wanted to confirm because I was told that you guys went all in on making fun of it on Thursday. Alabama did not advance past San Diego State.
They did not.
I was just told that while I was in the air, there was quite a bit of laughing at that pick.
There was quite a bit of laughing at that pick, and San Diego State with the win. You've called a few upsets this tournament, several of them actually.
No, my bracket does. Actually, I can give us the final results of our bracket challenge because none of the five of us have anyone remaining. Can you believe
nobody,
that?
Nobody had the Final Four that is the Final Four.
But nobody, none of us have even one person left. So the final bracket standings for us. Logan wins by 50 points.
Because why wouldn't I?
Yeah, but you didn't do good.
I won.
Fair, but you didn't do good.
Though. I sucked less.
Eric, you and I tied at 440 for second.
It's not good.
And Chad was fourth at 430, and Jake was fifth at 400. And none of us got a single person in the Final Four.
A 5 seed against a 9 seed.
Yep.
And a 4 seed against a 5 seed.
Yep.
Nobody had that.
Probably not. Well, there were several people that had it. I believe there are like 34 brackets that have a correct Final Four.
But that's insane. That's 34 more. That's 34 more than there should be.
That's what I read on ESPN the other day.
Wow.
If it makes you feel any better, across the tournament challenge across ESPN, the average points scored
439, 384. Okay, so I'm better than average.
So we're
above average.
Better than average.
Okay, give me all that.
We're all somehow better than average. But that's what kind of tournament it's been.
But that includes the people that do the bracket based on only seed and do it based on their team, the favorite colors of the team and the mascots. And so we're still not great.
I will say this, and some people don't care, and that's fine. But the women's Final Four is now set, and where the men's Final Four might have a record low TV rating, the women's Final Four, which the women's tournament has been up in every time slot this year, they have some really compelling games for this weekend. Friday night and then the national championship game on Sunday. You have Iowa, who Monday night, Caitlin Clark had a triple-double. Eric, a triple-double in which she scored 41 points. This is a guard. 41 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds. She scored or assisted on 70 of Iowa's 97 points.
Wow.
At halftime.
That's a decent day at the office right there.
At halftime, she had scored on or assisted all but 2 points. I believe those 2 points were on free throws. You also have LSU, South Carolina, and Virginia Tech, who defeated Tennessee over the weekend. They were able to come back and beat Ohio State last night. We talk about that and much more as we take a look now at the game plan. Both Final Fours are now officially set. Talk more about the men's Final Four and what that's going to look like. Are you excited about it or not?
No, actually, I am excited about it because I have no idea what's going to happen, and there's no high seeds in it.
And I wonder how sports fans at large are going to feel about it. We're going to find out. And then the women's Final Four is going to be just outstanding coming up. And it was another, as we talked about it yesterday, it was another sellout crowd in Seattle last night. Really incredible atmosphere there. We shift to football.
Let's go.
This was the headline out of College Station. They're a week and a half into spring practice down there. I'm going there in 2 days. Is the Jimbo Fisher-Bobby Petrino marriage already on the rocks?
So what's funny about this yesterday is I had forgotten that Bobby Petrino was the offensive coordinator. There. Not for any reason. I actually think he's a good offensive mind. But Jimbo's finally given in. He hires old Bobby Petrino. He hires old Neck Brace to get in there and fix the situation and get the quarterbacks playing well. Because Petrino's had a great career with quarterbacks.
Well, one of his is right on TV right now, Lamar Jackson.
Sure is. He's had a lot of success with him. But that's hilarious.
Jimbo Fisher was asked over the weekend about who was calling plays. And the answer to that question is why we're talking about this today. Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7 will join us coming up at 10:30, talking Tennessee recruiting and more. We'll take a look at some of the other spring storylines around the SEC as well. Your buddy Jonathan Crompton has a new job.
I saw this. Good for him.
So we'll tell you.
I bet he'll be great at it.
We'll tell you what that is coming up in a little bit. We will play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia, and the basketball transfer portal is open.
Uh-oh.
I think every player at a mid-major school that did anything good this year is in the transfer portal.
But it's worth talking about because I love that. That part of the portal I'm good with. You see it on almost every team. Tyreek Key this year wasn't maybe as good as maybe we thought he might be. But you get these guys from these mid-major smaller schools, they ball out, and you watch college basketball on any given night, almost every team has a transfer from somewhere small that goes and just balls out. There's the Pembers that leave the big schools and go smaller and ball. That's not as fun of a story than these smaller guys from these smaller schools that just go out there and they ball out at the big time.
But sometimes going to a small school is what they need to reignite their career. Drew Pembers talked about the difference it made for him. DJ Burns went to, I think, Winthrop before going back to NC State, and the transformation he made at a smaller school, getting his confidence, developing his game, and then he was ready to do it at the ACC level last year. All that and more over the next 3 hours here on the Eric Haines Show, and that's the game plan. We do that every day. Get you set for what's coming up. We will talk some hoops when we come back. 865-656-9900 if you want to join us, the Eric Haines Show on the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
865-656-9900. You can call us. You can text us here on the Eric Haines Show as we roll on this Tuesday. All right, so the Final Fours are now set in both men's and women's basketball. Briefly, we'll run through this. Last night, had the final two games of the Elite Eight on the women's side. Mentioned the Caitlin Clark performance. Just incredible. With 41 points on 11-19 shooting, 12 assists, 10 rebounds. Just incredible what she did on Sunday night. So then last night, a couple of big wins Leah Boston did what she did for South Carolina. Two-time National Player of the Year is probably not going to be National Player of the Year this year because of the way that South Carolina has been spreading things around and limiting her minutes. But when they needed her, she stepped up as South Carolina overcame a first quarter deficit to take out Maryland. And then Virginia Tech, who beat Tennessee in the Sweet 16 the other night, is headed to its first Final Four after a comeback victory over Ohio State. So it sets up two very different matchups in the men's and women's Final Fours. And so which is better for the game? Which is better from an entertainment standpoint? Is it in the women's Final Four, you have two number one seeds, a number two seed, and a number three seed. The team that's the three seed, LSU, is a team that felt like it should have been a one seed, though they played a weak schedule. They still won the vast majority of their games. Iowa was the best team in the Big Ten all season long, despite the fact that Indiana spent a good chunk of the year at number one, or part of the year at number two, excuse me. Nobody was number one ahead of South Carolina. They were number two. Ohio State was number two for part of the year, but Iowa has perhaps the best player in the country. So you have 2-1 seeds, a two seed, and a three seed. On the men's side, you have 2-5 seeds, a four seed, and a nine seed. So which of those sets of circumstances is going to provide the most compelling Final Four? I think we talked yesterday about the concept of a true champion, the best team over the course of the regular season. Well, none of the best teams over the course of the regular season are playing for a championship on the men's side. Two of the three teams, well, really three of the four teams this year, and it's funny because Virginia Tech's the one seed, and they're not really in this conversation, but two of the three teams playing in the women's Final Four could indeed be that team that you could say is the best one over the course of the regular season. South Carolina's the only undefeated team in the country, obviously. Iowa, again, has perhaps the best player in the country. LSU feels like it should have been under consideration as a top team throughout the year. It's an interesting topic for conversation, but I think most casual fans are still going to be more interested in the men's Final Four. That's kind of the nature of the beast. And we're going to be interested in watching just to see what happens with San Diego State, FAU. But ultimately, neither of those really move the meter. You have Miami and Connecticut on the other side. But again, it's 2-5 seeds, a 9 seed, and a 4 seed. So which is a more compelling Final Four? A women's side that has 2-1 seeds, a 2 seed, and a 3 seed, or a men's side with 2-5 seeds, a 9 seed, and a 4 seed?
Well, what's more common? The high seeds.
Sure.
For sure. Well, if you want the best basketball teams, it's going to be the high seeds, more likely. So it's probably the women's if you're looking for the best teams playing the best ball at the end of the year.
Who's the true and this is something that we got in yesterday. Who is the true champion for the whole season? This is obviously a tournament sport. I don't think anybody would argue that over the course of the entire season, San Diego State, FAU, Miami, or UConn have been the best team. But that's not how we determine a champion in men's basketball. It's not how we determine a champion really in any sport. You do it by a tournament that covers 3 weeks.
Did it devalue the New York Giants as a wild card team? And what was it? Was it 07?
I believe so. Beat Tom Brady and the undefeated Patriots in the last week of the regular season.
So the Patriots would have been that one seed. They were. And they would have been the best season ever. Right?
And then you knocked them off again in the Super Bowl.
So, but no one devalues Eli Manning's Super Bowl because they were a wild card team.
No.
So.
Partly because you beat that dominant team a couple times.
Okay, maybe that's part of it. But, whoever wins the men's side is going to beat a 4, a 5, or a 9 seed to be the champion.
Yeah.
So does that devalue it a little bit? I don't want to say it devalues the championship.
Right.
It doesn't devalue the championship. Would it be cooler if a 9 seed beat a 1 seed for the national championship? It would be. But it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't matter to me. It is a tournament sport. It doesn't devalue it. Whoever wins that men's side, they're undisputed national champions. I will say this, though. It's more fun watching FAU San Diego State not having a clue what's going to happen in that game. Miami UConn, both playing great basketball right now.
Both have been conference champions. San Diego State, I believe, won the Mountain West as well. So you do have three conference champions in there. Well, and FAU was the Conference USA champion, if I'm not mistaken, for the regular season.
UConn's the best team left, right? I mean, UConn is the best team left.
I would expect the UConn would win this, but this has been a tournament where everything you expect to happen has not.
Y'all know their smallest margin of victory, UConn?
In the tournament?
Yeah, tournament.
12?
15.
And incredible. It was double digits.
Incredible.
They've won by 24, 15, 23, and 28.
Wow. And Miami's good. They're in the Final Four. I mean, they are a very good basketball team. But sure. I think UConn wins that game, and then UConn beats FAU or San Diego State. Probably.
Miami has had the toughest road. Miami beat 2-seeded Texas, 1-seeded Houston, 4-seeded Indiana.
Wow.
And 12-seed Drake.
Still.
So Miami has beaten the 2, 4, and 1 seeds in their bracket as the 5.
See, I mean, you roll with that. Why they could absolutely be UConn.
San Diego State's road beat the 12 seed, beat the 13 seed, because remember Furman upset Virginia, then beat the 1 seed, and then the 6 seed. But so they only beat 2 single digit seeds on the way. But one of those is the undisputed number 1 overall, Alabama. In the Sweet 16.
Oh, bummer. Bama loses. Was that? Did we not all enjoy that a little bit?
It warmed my heart. I sat in a pizza place in Seattle with the big, just grinning like an idiot. And the guy comes over and says, oh, you seem very happy. And it's like, Alabama was losing. I mean, this guy had clue why.
They were devastated. Like, I guess that's part of it. Like, I picked them to be my national champion. Mm-hmm. I do think over the course of the year and going into the tournament, I do think they were the best basketball team. But that's why we all love March, man.
FAU's road. Okay, is this false hope? FAU beat an 8 seed, a 16 seed, a 4 seed, and a 3 seed.
That's pretty legit.
The first two rounds are in. We're gifted the Fairleigh Dickinson deal, thanks to Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue. But they still did it. And then they got Kansas State, who I think after Purdue went out, everybody looked and said Kansas State is most likely to advance out of that bracket, and they didn't. Okay, UConn's road. UConn beat 13-seeded Iona. 5-seeded St. Mary's, 8-seed Arkansas, 3-seed Gonzaga.
Legit. And they spanked them.
As Logan pointed out, closest win on that streak was 15 against St. Mary's.
And they beat some good teams and they beat them up.
So based on that, Logan said this first yesterday, so I want to give him credit, but he's absolutely right. In my mind, Miami UConn's for the national championship.
I think so.
We'll watch the championship game, but I think either San Diego State or FAU is happy to be there. And Miami or UConn is going to take him to the shed. But in a season where nothing has gone as we think, I'm not too sure about that either.
You look at Miami's road, though. So UConn is definitely the best team left. Mm-hmm. But you look at Miami's road to get there, and all they've done is beat some of the best teams in the tournament. So
they've beaten.
That game is going to be that. You asked what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
Of men's and women's, it's clearly, to me, it's the men's, and it's UConn Miami.
Yeah.
That's the game. San Diego State FAU is fun. I can't, FAU being there, just come on.
I still think on the women's side, with having 2 1-seeds in the Final Four, it's still a South Carolina coronation. But I'm going to tell you, if you're just a basketball fan and you haven't invested in the women's game much this year, it's okay. Friday night at 9 o'clock, South Carolina is going to play Iowa, the best team in the country, against Caitlin Clark, the best player in the country. 9 o'clock Friday night. I don't care if you watch LSU, Virginia Tech, but that's going to be a boring game because Virginia Tech slows it down and plays defense, and it's excruciating to watch. 9 o'clock Friday night. Trust me on this one, South Carolina, Iowa. You will be entertained if you are a fan of the sport of basketball. But ultimately, I think it's just a bump the road on South Carolina's coronation for the course of the season. And then Saturday, you get the Final Four. 6 o'clock for San Diego State FAU. 8:45 for Miami and Connecticut. I'll be propped up with my feet up in College Station, ready to watch that.
You gotta be.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, we will break that all down as well. When we come back, we're going to hit the gridiron. It's coming up next on the Eric Haines Show on the Sports Animal.
Tennessee baseball jumped to number 10 in the new D1 Baseball Top 25 poll released yesterday. Tennessee swept Texas A&M this weekend and will travel to take on number 1 LSU this weekend in Baton Rouge beginning on Thursday. Yesterday, the NFL Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson announced that he requested a trade from Baltimore on March the 2nd. The Ravens then placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar Jackson on March the 7th. That allowed Jackson to negotiate with other teams, but yesterday Ravens head coach John Harbaugh said he still expect Jackson to be the Ravens starting quarterback in week one. In college basketball, Texas finally named Rodney Terry their full-time head coach. He's been the interim head coach since Chris Beard was suspended in December. In the NBA last night, the Nuggets took down the 76ers 116-111. The Suns got by the Jazz 117-103. The Knicks beat the Rockets 137-115. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Pretty simple. Call or text 865-656-9900 if you want to join us right here on the Eric Haines Show.
865-656-9900. Rusty's taking us up on that offer. Rusty, you're on the EA Show. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing great.
Great, great, great. Hey, the Final Four on the men's side, I think for the most exciting game, it would be FAU and Miami, because they're like 57 miles apart. I think they probably know each other. I believe it'll get a little chippy. I think that'll be a pretty exciting game. And as far as the girls, the first game would be good, but the second game, I think we need to tune in just to see what Kim's wearing.
That's the early game is LSU and Virginia Tech's the early game.
Okay.
It will be played at probably a very slow pace, but yes, Eric, did you see Kim Mulkey's outfit on Saturday?
No, but they're always terrible.
She had pink feathers down her arms.
It was crazy. For
that's
a coach,
her thing. I mean, she crazy. Looks. She doesn't. I'm not a fan of it, but that's her thing.
It was wild.
She loves herself so much that she wants eyes on her.
That's all I got. I believe FAU and Miami would be the most exciting of the four, and that's all I've got. I'll hang up and listen to what y'all think.
Appreciate it. Yeah, if Miami gets past UConn, FAU and FAU can beat San Diego State, that would be a compelling matchup.
Because
as
they
he said,
could.
They're close. I guarantee those FAU guys would have the biggest chip on their shoulder against a Miami team.
No, for sure.
But you're already an 8 seed. You already have a nine seed. You already have a huge chip.
Susan and I were talking about this. Does it make you feel any better that FAU's in the Final Four?
A little.
Didn't Loyola make a run after
they
beat us?
Yeah, they went to the Final Four.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And guess what? When people still call in about that loss, I don't ever hear anybody say, but at least they went to the Final. I guarantee there's people listening right now that feel better about Tennessee losing to FAU because FAU has made a run.
There was a lot of, in the reaction after they won the other night, there was a lot of, why do we always end up facing the hot team?
Yeah.
I don't think it makes people feel better, but I think it makes people not feel as bad about your performance, but it doesn't make you feel better.
I think the reason, maybe a little bit, maybe I'll say, maybe it makes me feel a little bit better. Maybe. But it doesn't change the fact that you were favored by six and clearly the better team when you lost.
And you were the better team for the first half. And then the second, as we talked about on Friday, the second half was the same second half we've seen play out three or four times this year.
Yeah.
And you're out of the tournament because of it.
It's kind of like, well, you know, sure, you played the hot team and all that. But part of the reason they were the hot team is because of what they did to you in the second half.
Well, and the other thing about it is, it makes me feel, here's why it makes me feel worse, because you had an opportunity to play, you could have played Kansas State to go to the Final Four. FAU's able to get that win. I don't know that Tennessee's a great matchup for Kansas State, but you would have been there. And then now you're talking about a Final Four against a five seed to potentially face a four or a five seed, which is what you were, a four seed, to win a national championship. That's why I think it hurts more. Every obstacle in front of you was removed. Now you can say that in each of the four brackets. Every obstacle was removed from you.
Yeah, you're right. All
except
four.
The one that took you down.
I guess so my answer in general would be no, because you were the better team and they whipped you in the second half. So I still feel just as bad about taking that L to FAU. Now, maybe I'll say this. Maybe if FAU goes on to win the national championship, which would be one for the ages if they were able to do that. Because aren't they a nine seed? If I remember correctly.
FAU is a nine seed.
They're the nine seed.
Yes.
If the nine seed FAU, if they go win a national championship, will I ultimately someday maybe feel a little better about it? Maybe. But just getting to the Final Four and then losing, especially if they lose too, because San Diego State, an eight seed. I don't know. I guarantee there's people out there. I bet it's all over the place with this. I bet there's a lot of people that say, well, no, it makes me feel a little better about it because they're moving on and they're still winning. I just don't necessarily subscribe to that. You were the better team and they whipped you. What, they put 40 on us in the second half? Ew. 20-4 run. I guess I don't care what they did after us. Watching a 20-4 run with us not calling any timeouts and just basically losing the game in that moment. It's hard for me to feel good about that, no matter what they do.
I'm not going to feel good about it. But there it is. Let's talk to Bud. Bud, you're on the EA show. Good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
Good.
I got a question. Say the Tennessee basketball. The game, we're behind 1 point. You got 5 seconds to go, and we're taking the ball out of half court. And you ain't got Ziegler. Who you going to give the ball to make a shot?
I'm going to try to get Vescovy open, pass him the ball, and see if he'll knock it down.
Problem is, that's
okay,
hard to do.
1957 set shooter. Them days went out a long time ago. We ain't got an athlete that can create besides Ziegler. And maybe Phillips that could create a shot on the team. We got defensive stars, people that's on the best defensive team we've ever had at Tennessee. But we ain't got a man. They say, look here, this is who we're going to give the ball to. Because you have somebody like Kumwa, he'll get 27 points one game. The next game, he'll forget where the game's being played at. He'll get 2 points or 3 points or nothing. And it's like we don't have no consistency. We don't have we got shooters, we just ain't got no makers. We got all kinds of shooters. We need a maker. We need somebody we can put the ball in their hands. They can carry the ball to the hoop, and they can score. One other thing before I get off, I wanted to ask. I'm sitting there watching ESPN, and it reminds me of Ryan Leaf when he was going against Peyton Manning. You had people picking Ryan Leaf ahead of Peyton Manning. Is people not watching this Will Levins at Kentucky? It's like the king with no clothes on. Hendon Hooker got to play him left-handed. If he's playing, if he has ACL tears in both knees and played with a cast on the legs. I'm looking at his stats. I'm looking at the wins. I'm looking at everything else. Look, how are they ranking Will Levins ahead of him? I just don't see that and don't understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, they're not doing it on stats. They're doing it on their evaluation of his ceiling. It doesn't make sense. I mean, Eric, we've talked at length about neither of us would draft Will Levis to be our quarterback.
That's what you're doing in the first round. Listen, Mike Tannenbaum had Hooker as a fifth-round pick in his latest mock draft. That's wrong.
No, fifth overall.
Fifth overall, yeah. No way.
Which is equally insane.
Yeah, no. I don't see that. But again, compare him to the guys. Who would you rather have based on what they did in college and their physical ability? Would you rather have Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, or Anthony Richardson? And to be honest, to Bud's point, I might pick Hooker over those two. But to me, none of them are first round draft picks.
Yeah.
It's like you could rank those guys based on what you think. I don't think any of them are franchise quarterbacks. I just don't.
All right, we will come back. 865-656-9900 if you want to join us on the Eric Ain Show on the Sports Animal.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
I felt really depressed when Tennessee lost, but then Alabama lost. I felt a little better, and then the UConn women lost, and I felt even a little more better.
I like more better. More better is good.
Then I realized we have Tennessee baseball and spring football, and now I feel fine.
Yeah, right? I watched the baseball team play a bunch this weekend. They look good. I mean, they look good.
Bob says basketball's still going on for me since Tennessee basketball's done, so is my basketball season.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm not emotionally invested in the tournament anymore. It's still, like, if you love basketball, though, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, I mean, come on, all that's, come on.
Brandon says, to me, this is an epic failure. We can't blame Ziegler not being there. We were already losing before he got hurt.
I agree with that. I think it's a cop out to say, now, could he have helped?
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it an epic failure.
No, I wouldn't say epic failure.
You made a sweet 16.
That part of it, I'm not agreeing with. If Zakai was there, we definitely would have won crowd. I don't necessarily agree with that. He was a part of the team for the majority of the year, and we did win games without him before that. Wouldn't you argue Arkansas is a better team than FAU?
Yeah.
In general. I mean, I know FAU's in the Final Four. I get it. Well, you beat them without him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
JP asked this in the text box. Eric, did you watch the XFL game last night?
I did not watch that game.
I saw this. I didn't put it on the rundown because I forgot. There was an unsportsmanlike penalty called on a player last night. Do you know what he did? He took a water bottle and squirted the official with water after he made a call.
I mean, I love that.
I love it.
That's ballsy right there. Have you ever seen that before?
No, because in legitimate leagues, the players don't go after the officials. They yell at them, but they don't throw things at them, squirt water on them.
There's the occasional chest bump or, like, get in their face.
Yeah, maybe. Bobby Cox, Tony Vitello.
You know, it reminds me. So, Danny, Uncle Danny, mm-hmm. was coach. He was doing TNT broadcasting, and he was phenomenal at it.
Yeah.
Got into coaching.
Yeah.
Did, I think, for a year or two of the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. And he had, remember, Robert Horry?
Yep.
He had Robert Horry on his team. And Robert was not playing defense. Danny's a defensive guy. He's mad. Robert Horry comes off, grabs a towel, and throws it in Danny's face on the bench. Now, Danny was a scrapper. Mm-hmm. I think we all can agree that Robert Horry's lucky that the head coach Danny Ainge didn't fight him on the court immediately. Do you know Danny's best move as a coach, though? So, I think it was against Kobe. Got a
early in his career, Kobe.
Early in his career. Gets a steal, has a breakaway, and Danny is furious. And his guys aren't playing defense. Mm-hmm. And he jumps out on the court to take a charge on Kobe on the court as the coach. I think they might have ejected him.
I'm sure they probably did. Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do that. But you talk about a wild card. Squirting water in the face, though. I mean, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Caleb Love is in the transfer portal. Guard for North Carolina. leading scorer for North Carolina this past year. Speculated that there may be some internal issues at North Carolina, considering they were the number one team preseason, didn't even make the tournament, declined to go to the NIT. So Caleb Love in the portal. That came down yesterday. Probably not great for them, although apparently Hubert Davis got the vote of confidence and the year added to his contract. So.
Bro, nothing like an extension for not making the tournament.
Yeah.
Boop. Dude, can you imagine the stress that he's under on a daily basis? And now his arguably best player leaves.
Mm-hmm. Not great.
No. Not great. If you're a North Carolina Tar Heel fan, shout out to Heavy Harris from Dynabody. Huge UT guy, yep. Grew up in North Carolina, yep. huge Tar Heel fan.
Yep.
If you're a Tar Heel fan, I'm sorry.
It's rough.
I don't see it getting better.
Either he gets better or he doesn't.
Mm. It makes losing in the Sweet 16 feel a little better, I guess. You look at some teams like North Carolina.
Yeah,
it was nice to get Duke out of there.
I go back to all of that. People can be mad. That's fine. Be mad. Made the Sweet 16. I refuse,
and you beat Duke to get there.
I refuse to be mad about a Sweet 16, period.
Overall, I'm not mad.
I am mad that they lost that game because yes. They should not have.
I do believe Tennessee, and this, I know it sounds crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Tennessee was better than the Sweet 16 with the matchup they had. I said it when it happened. If you lost to Bama or Houston or UConn, if you lost to a team like that in the Sweet 16, then I think it's easier to be like, well, we made it to the Sweet 16 and we lost to blank. There's no shame in that. But you lost to
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.